entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes! Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. That's right. The DJ New Style Show exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. A fine podcast network that we're very, very happy to be a part of. And I said we. That's right. It's not just me doing this bullshit. Ladies and gentlemen, with me, as always, your friend, my friend, a guy named Steve. Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy? What's going on? Oh, Christ. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Steve, are you there, you son of a bitch?
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Johnny on the fucking spot. What's going on, Steve?
I said, I think this is going to be a big show for me.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that? Why is it going to be a big show for you?
Because it's going to be a 47-inch wide viewing of the show. Because I got the shit pumped through my new TV. I got my...
So you see my fucking face on your TV?
It's like you're in my room. Except your head is actually probably bigger than it actually is on my screen.
So wait, in relation to where you are now, you're at your desk. What am I, behind you? I'm at your fucking...
You're to my right. You're to my right.
So am I mounted or am I on like some kind of a console right now? Some kind of an entertainment center?
No, you're on my desk. You're on the side of my desk.
Do you have two desks or something?
No, it's like a right angle desk. It's, you know, maybe like...
Wait a minute. You bought this new TV that you were gushing over a couple episodes ago, and you put it on your fucking desk right next to you.
Yeah.
So my face is like life size, within inches of your fucking lips.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, dude?
It's about 3 feet away.
Minimize that fucking shit. Don't look at me like that.
Oh, I'm gonna make you uncomfortable and keep it like that.
I'm actually a little creeped out. Like, what if somebody you lived with came down? Fucking and spotted a fucking sparsely bearded man on your huge TV. Like, this is the reason you bought it.
And they wouldn't be able to hear it because I'm wearing headphones. So, yeah. Like, all they would see is just, like, you kind of talking into a mic.
Occasionally giggling and smiling, and then you just fucking laughing back. Like, we're having a fucking... This is... You know what? I demand you dismantle that TV.
Oh, yeah,
take it
right.
Down.
Not happening.
So why did you put it immediately next to you? Do you never leave that spot? Do you need? You have to have a cockpit for all the shit that you do?
It's good for now. My old TV is in like a gigantic entertainment center. Like, you know,
I'm one of those cabinets like in the 80s where everything had to be in there. Like,
right.
You had the Nintendo, but it had to be put on top of the VCR because there wasn't a Nintendo-specific slot. So
yeah,
you had the cable box on the other side and the fucking tape rewinder that's shaped like a car on top of it.
This has, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 5 for the TV, 6, 7, 7 spots. Well, 6 spots for components, 1 for the TV. Each side has, like, on the left and the right of the TV, there's room for DVDs.
So wait a minute. So you have this entertainment center still.
Big.
And yeah, it has the old TV in it?
Yeah, I didn't get rid of my old TV yet. It's huge.
So,
well, it's not huge. It's
so
just,
rather than get rid of your old TV, you've just taken the brand new one that is gorgeous from your descriptions and the things you said, and
beautiful.
It is a superior TV, and you've just fucking put it next to where you look at porn.
Well, yeah. I'd need a bigger HDMI cable to reach where my current TV is, so I couldn't watch internet porn on this new TV,
which was one of
the first things I did when I
stage where you had it just propped up against the wall. How creepy is that?
I wasn't at that stage.
Like, you just moved in, have it fucking leaning up against the wall on the floor.
Yeah, no. I didn't watch porn at that point.
So, I mean, you've been using your TV now. You're happy with it, right? What are some of the things that you've What are some of the things that you've been enjoying more so on this TV than your old TV?
Well, the first thing I did was actually plug it into my laptop because, I mean, it's my laptop has an HDMI out, TV has an HDMI in.
Sure.
So I started just browsing the web and just using it as a monitor, basically.
Oh, like you're doing now, as you have fucking face blown up like a goddamn billboard in front of you.
And not even that.
Well, hold on. You have the website, hearustalk.com/live up, but you didn't go full screen, did you? It at least still looks like a website, right?
No, it's the full screen of the Ustream.
What the fuck are you doing? Why do you need me to fill your whole fucking TV?
Immersion.
Christ, man, I'm fucking really bugged out by this.
All right, you know what? All right, you're minimized. There you go.
How do I know? That's the thing. How do I know?
Because I can read the chat now. That sounds real creepy.
Yeah, Goatweed just chimed in that he's disturbed. Goatweed is disturbed at your actions. I don't know, Steve. Whatever. Whatever you got
to
do.
I apologize to Goatweed.
Whatever you got to do. You want to turn this show into the scene where Marty McFly gets fired in the future from his Japanese boss? Just have a fucking huge screen where I'm talking to you, staring at you with your two neckties on? Let's do it. Go ahead. I don't care.
Double necktie.
That was a definite misstep.
Yeah.
In their future predictions. Well. Who the fuck would wear two ties? Fucking horse shit. Anyway, Steven. So you're watching a lot of I'm guessing pirated movies. People that have just jammed free movies on YouTube.
Yeah, I go to YouTube because you can't get in trouble for watching anything on YouTube. I mean, you know, if you go through torrent sites, you could get reported by your ISP. Blah blah blah. But anything on YouTube's free game.
Well, hold on. Is that really true?
Absolutely true.
Now think about it this way. Like,
you're not downloading it. You're watching anything streaming. If you watch something
online. But let's say this, Steve. You were able to find full-length movies on YouTube, correct?
Yeah.
Those are not legal. So the person who posted them could suffer repercussions, right? And they get
the person who posted them.
That's right. But they get removed because Google monitors it, and there's a lag time between them getting removed.
Right.
So in theory, there could be child porn on YouTube, correct? In theory.
I don't think so. I think they're actually a lot quicker about that.
So they'll let the Three Amigos go for like 6 months, but then somebody's fucking spy cam on their little sister that gets down in minutes.
I don't know.
I don't think it's instantly taken down, right? So in theory, there's got to be some lag time before an offending clip is removed. So if there is child pornography on YouTube and you sought it out and you watched it, you've just committed a fucking crime. I don't give a fuck who's hosting it. So, like, whether or not
I've never done that, so I wouldn't know.
Well, yeah, fuck, Steve. It's a goddamn example. I'm not. You don't have to.
I know you're making an analogy. I know you're making an analogy, but
I'm not accusing you of watching child pornography. I just want to make that absolutely clear.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying,
please make that clear.
But what I'm saying is, Steven Larper, New Jersey, is that you if you watch
Jesus Christ,
what?
Keep going.
33. Anyway, 33 years old, Steve. White male, 6 feet. Okay. So what I'm saying is...
Get them off my trail with 6 feet.
Oh, good. Yeah, they'll be looking for somebody a little more Nordic. If you watch the full-length movie, which is obviously illegal, you're consuming illegal material, correct? So regardless of whether you posted it or not, you still looked for it. You still looked for fucking Tommy Boy full movie.
No, I didn't.
Whatever. What movie did you watch on YouTube? You care not to comment now? A little nervous?
Well, no. I was looking up the animated Avengers clips, and somehow...
Here we go. Oh, he was just looking for the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for the trailer. I wanted a movie.
Just looking for the trailer.
I was going to purchase this film, and I wanted to see some reviews from some YouTubers. Bull fucking shit.
And you know what? After 2 hours, I realized that it wasn't actually the trailer anymore. It was actually the full movie.
Wow, after 2 hours. You know, you were probably under the influence of legally purchased alcohol.
No, I was perfectly sober at the time.
Okay. So in your sober mind, you let 2 hours lapse before you realized you weren't watching a trailer. You could have been under the umbrella of drunkenness, Steve. A little more sympathy.
There might have been a gas leak in my house.
So anyway, you watch other legal things, I'm sure. You probably just... Have you watched regular TV yet?
Yeah. I watched a couple episodes of Big Bang Theory on the TBS site. Why does everyone hate this show?
Fucking show. I'm just so...
Why?
I'm just tired of nerds.
It makes references that are familiar to me.
I'm tired of nerds. Oh, familiar with you. Shut up.
What am I supposed to watch?
Amanda had this fucking show on. Amanda had the show on, and the Indian one was talking to Siri for like 16 minutes, and the fucking... The fake studio audience was just roaring every time he asked it a question. It is hideous.
Now, hold on. I got a question about a studio audience. I know Frank has touched on this.
By studio audience, I obviously mean fucking blatant laugh track. Because they couldn't find a fucking room full of people that would roar at anything on that fucking show.
Yeah. Sandwich Humor Jeff also checking in. Worst show ever.
No. He said, worst show ever. Period. Look at the emphasis he's putting on that. He hates this fucking show, and he's a goddamn prince for doing so. It's terrible.
I was reading an article too about how the show doesn't really appeal to geek culture. It really appeals to the people who don't understand or don't identify with geek culture, and everybody identifies with Penny, the one who's confused at all the references and the science references and stuff. But you know what? Every reference that they ever say and everything that they say on the show is all true. It's not like they just pull stuff out of their ass.
Well, who gives a shit?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is embedded in the science in which they, you know, relate.
I just don't care. I'm tired.
Because you don't watch it.
I don't watch it, but I catch little pieces of it because Amanda will just turn on the TV and go through her fucking laptop and be on Facebook and just have it on as background noise, and I'll fucking just hear this irritating sound, look at the TV, and then all of a sudden it's the effeminate one. Just making some scientific references that no one else on the show gets, and then saying something very catty and making a fucking smirk. It's the same shit every time. The best thing I've ever seen was that somebody took about 10 minutes of that show and removed the laugh track. It was the most fucking justice-bringing video I've ever seen. Like it made me feel so good. And you know what? Here's the reason, Steve. Why does it need a laugh track?
Why did Married with Children need a laugh track?
No, they had a live studio audience.
They did.
Yes, they did. They absolutely did.
And it said filmed in front of a live studio audience at the end? I don't think so.
There are times when fucking Married with Children, something would happen, and I remember one specific scene, after the laughter faded, one dude just yelled out, "Busted!" from the audience. Like, there were moments where it was just not generic fucking laughter that was recorded in the 40s, but it was definitely live studio audience. Definitely. Yeah, and if not, then they did a great fucking job.
But you know what? Have you ever been part of a live studio audience for something?
I have, and I choose not to comment.
Oh! After you busted all that, now you're not going to comment. Now you have to say what you were part of a live studio
audience. I think I mentioned this on the show. I went to a talk show that Amanda was interested in.
The View? Were you on The View?
I was not on The fucking View. It's almost as bad.
What is it, Oprah?
I was on... Okay, Amanda had written in for tickets to this show, and she intended on going with a friend, and the friend bailed, and she didn't want to go alone, so I agreed to go with her, went to the fucking, this is a couple years ago at this point, and I know I fucking said it on the show, but for those of you who don't know, I was in the audience for the Rachel Ray talk show, and I made it a point to not be on camera, and the way to do that... If you ever get dragged into a situation down. Like I was in, no, you can look at the show, you can observe the show, because you're going to get pretty bored, but sit there like Frank the Germ Freak with an absolute stone face. like the Nazis are trying to break information out of you. You sit there and you give them nothing! as that warm-up guy comes out with his fucking cornball jokes, you give him nothing! And I gave him nothing, and he fucking yelled at me on a break. He goes,
really?
Oh, how about the gentleman in the crowd? You guys having a good time? I just nodded once. He goes, oh, maybe you could show it a little bit more, huh?
So, wow, really?
Yeah, he was a bit pissed. He was a little bit pissy pants at me.
But
I'll tell you this.
Okay.
Amanda recorded the show. I observed all of the crowd shots. Not there once. They're not going to show somebody having a shitty time on a show.
Yeah. No, I got into a crowd shot because I was on the Colbert Report.
Oh, really?
Twice. Interesting. Yeah, I went. Actually,
aren't you just the hipster of the fucking goddamn Heroes Talk Network? Here I am getting dragged to the Rachel Ray Show, and you're on the fucking Colbert Report. You fuck.
Yeah, I actually managed two times in 1 month to go with two separate groups of friends. Wow. And
groupie.
The thing I realized is that, like you were saying, for Married with Children, someone yelled "busted," like
busted.
They totally regulate the laugh track of the audience on those shows.
Oh, they absolutely do. Where the guy raises his arm up and then raises it down.
Not even that.
They direct
man.
They manage the levels through the mics too.
They absolutely there was nothing. It was all mic leveling. That's 100% mic leveling, because I know people shouted shit and people would laugh at awkward times and you just wouldn't hear that.
Well, the warm up guy at the show I went to, the Rachel Ray Show. He was having an off day, and he forgot to cue the audience to clap when they were coming back from a commercial. And fucking Rachel Ray sassed him. He goes, oh, I guess you guys didn't know we were starting the break. And the guy looked fucking mortified. The guy had a fucking really frightful look on his face, and they started over. And man, he didn't miss a fucking cue after that. Because his cue was, when I raise my hand like this, you're going to make the noise. And when I go down like this, you're going to bring it down. He would raise his arm up and you're supposed to just roar with delight at the fucking bullshit hen chatter inducing garbage they're showing you.
Well, the thing
is, right, this one makes her own purses. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes this one. Purses. I got one for everybody. All this dumb shit. Garbage.
We'll see with the Colbert Report, it's actually pretty easy, because I mean the funny parts are funny.
Yeah.
And I only really saw maybe one or two instances where people were just way out of sync with the audience and laughing at something that was just
busted!
Not funny at all. Yeah. that didn't happen at all. But it was fun.
Yeah. I don't know, Steve.
More fun than I assume being on the Rachel Ray Live fucking TV show.
It was a nightmare. Let me tell you, it was one of the more stressful moments of my life. Just doing all I could to look as miserable as possible for however many hours we were there.
I will sass you more than that concert you've recently gone to.
Well, whatever, Steve. I mean, you missed your chance. By the way, Clayton from Bug Zapper Radio, who's live every Wednesday night on Heroes Talk. Check it out, Bug Zapper Radio, heroestalk.com. He basically chastised you on his last episode for not getting on me about the Shania Twain concert, the fucking Carrie Underwood concert.
And I can't sass anybody for any kind of music. I mean, music is personal, that's... And I guess so is what comedies you watch. I mean, it's what you find funny or what you
as
find
long
enjoyable
as it's not,
in music.
As long as it's not the Big Bang Theory, which is just a pile of shit. That show is garbage.
Even though it seems to win Golden Globes and many people like
just
it.
You know what? It shows that everybody has shit taste. It's the number one comedy. It's the number one comedy right now, isn't it? Well, wasn't 2.5 Men the number one comedy for quite a while?
Yeah, I never got into.
Oh, that one's shitty. But the people have spoken, Steve.
Yeah,
it had the crown for quite a while. It's a pile of shit, and
like
so
I said,
is that fucking show.
Personal preference. It's all personal.
And I got
preference.
News for you too. The one with fucking Doogie Howser. What's the show? How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother.
Garbage. Garbage.
Never even watched it. Never watched it.
Garbage.
What comedies are good in your eyes right now? What's a good comedy to watch?
Seinfeld.
No, that's been on recently with a new episode in the last 15 years.
I'll tell you, I don't Louis. I like Louis's show. I mean, that's on, you know, FX, but it's not even really, that's not even that funny.
Current.
It's not even current, really. That's true. But I don't know. The it just seems that every network comedy is the fucking same. It's the same. Whether it's the two broke girls. Like, Amanda watches all of them, too. So I get a taste of two broke girls with a pillow tits McGee.
Oh my God, the two broke girls?
Yes. I get
Dude,
to,
I see.
That is it's the worst one there is.
You know what? Because it's on the same station as Big Bang, and I always see the commercials for it.
The one with the skinny blonde one will say something.
Hideous. She's idiot.
She'll say something somewhat sassy, but then the one with the pillow tits will say something even sassier, and then they break into a guitar riff, and they show the Brooklyn Bridge, and then it's the next scene. So it's like, well, you know, maybe I should show my titties. And she's like, well, maybe you should get some titties. Bam. Bam, bam,
bam, bam.
And then they show the fucking Brooklyn Bridge, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know, these cupcakes we made are fucking great. It's a terrible show. It's an absolute fucking hideous show. But they're all the fucking same. It's, oh, let's make some witty banter. Let's do that shit.
Yeah, I kind of extrapolated from the commercials that it was horrible because I figure you got to have a good, you know, like one-liner in a commercial or something like that. And every commercial was just groan-worthy. Like, I just groan at every commercial I've ever seen of that show. This is horrible.
I've
seen good commercials for other shit.
I might
that.
Do this. I might actually look for these moments because I saw one or two episodes and they happen maybe every 10 minutes. There's a fucking a scene. It fucking ends, and then they have that guitar riff. Where it's like, yeah, we fucking did it to you again, didn't we? We just laid down that fucking funny. Bam, bam. I want
to
put a compilation.
Like porn music to me.
I want to put a compilation of that shit where they deliver the fucking over the top sassy line and then they break into the shitty guitar riff and then it's next scene. And that's all I want over and over again because it's so fucking bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's.
I will admit. That occasionally I'll hear a line, because keep in mind it's mostly background music, background noise. I'll hear a line occasionally from one of the shows that's on where I say, you know what? That's a good line. I'll never laugh at it. I'll just say, you know what? That's good. That's good. It's not like I'm overwhelmed or taken aback that something creative came through. But it's only a line, and it's only occasionally. I don't know. Here's why, Steve. Why do you think that the comedies are so shitty? I mean, you like the number one comedy there is right now, but I think it's
the only one I do watch. I mean, there's nothing else I watch besides that. I mean,
the problem is that
it's all been done. Everything's a rehash.
Am I the only person you've heard that hates The Big Bang Theory?
No. A lot of people.
A lot of people hate it, right?
No, I know.
It's the number one show, and every other show is equally as shitty because people still watch it. They don't have to do any better than that. They don't have to do anything different. But the minute someone does and it gets attention and gets credit for being different and good, then everybody will try to be like that. Like when Seinfeld started to hit, then every comedian had to have their own fucking Seinfeld show. Like Sue Costello. Like Sue Costello had a fucking show kind of like Seinfeld.
There was a George Lopez show. Yeah. There was a lot of just singular comedian shows.
Yeah. And they're not good. They're all the same fucking format. They're like, just get some writing in there. Just get some writing in there.
I think Louis Anderson even had his own show.
Yeah. every time I hear that name, I just hear a fucking passing a kidney stone groan in my head. Sourpuss, fat fuck.
I hear his voice and I go straight back to Coming to America and him
fries. Yeah. It was good. He was good in that movie, Steve. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the time...
I want to point something out, though. You had told me... Mm-hmm. You didn't mention Big Bang Theory to me. Thank God. But you did mention something, and I saw it on your Facebook, that you had posted that you were watching wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Do you always watch this shit?
I haven't watched a full episode of, like, a wrestling show probably in 10 years, 12 years.
So you got this new TV, and you were flipping, and maybe you got curious a little bit?
No, I was actually watching on my old TV because I don't have my cable box hooked up to the new one.
God, you are so fucking ultra lazy. You should fucking just set this shit up. Get rid of the old TV.
Well, I mean, there's so much shit in my entertainment center. I don't even have anywhere to put it. I need like a fucking another room.
Just fucking break it into pieces. Like, you haven't seen this movie. Oh, you've seen fucking goddamn Big Bang Theory and you love it, but you've never seen Shawshank Redemption. So I can't even make the break it up into pieces and run it out of your pockets every day.
Right. Right.
Okay. Okay, fine. Well, so you watched wrestling, I guess, out of what? Curiosity, just to see what they were up to?
I was watching something, and then wrestling was on after it.
Yeah.
So I was just on my computer. And when I'm on my computer,
You're on your what? Did you just say computer?
What is it?
Did you say computer? On my laptop. Yeah, you know there's one pronunciation of computer that really fucking just makes me angry, and it was almost that, but it's when someone says computer.
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 Can you help me
fix my computer? It fucking bothers me so much. Oh, God, do I go into fucking rage. Can you fix my computer? Fuck! Shut up! Maybe it's because they're asking me to fix it. Anyway, so you're watching wrestling like a fucking child.
It was on in the background.
Like a child that believes it's real. Just sitting there, Indian style, in front of your old TV.
No.
Craned up, staring at the glow.
Absolutely not. My TV is behind me. My laptop's in front of me. It's almost directly 180 degrees behind me.
So you didn't get out the old junkyard dog beanbag chair?
Get a bottle of fiddle faddle
and watch Raw, whatever the fuck you watched?
Yeah. No.
A bottle of fiddle faddle. What an asshole I am. It's a box! Anyway.
Yeah, so it was on. Sometimes I just let the TV go, and whatever's on the channel, I'll turn around. And watch, because I got a computer chair and a computer chair.
Fuck you, Steve. Fuck you. Computer. My computer has all kinds of malware on it, I think, and spyware on it, I think.
No, they wouldn't say malware.
People know that now.
Really?
Yeah, people who don't know shit know the word malware and spyware. Because every fucking double my speed or fucking fixmypc.jerkoff.gov. Whatever commercial they use to target the people who don't know shit, they educate people only slightly and just give them vocabulary to throw at people who know how to fix shit. And just
doublemyspeed.com.
Do you have... what do you do when you got malware? Oh, by the way, very, very nice lady. My brother-in-law's mom... we were at my nephew's birthday party this weekend, and
were you drinking moonshine?
No, I was not. Okay, I learned my lesson. I figured out that I'm not from the Appalachian Mountains. I don't need to drink moonshine. So she had called me over. She asked me occasionally asked me like a computer thing. She knows that she's one of the people that would say, "What does Kenny do? Oh, he works in computers." Like that. It's not like he's a developer or he makes software. No, he just works in computers. Like I'm fucking crawling around the chips and just running wires and shit.
Working on HAL 9000 from the other side.
Yeah. So she says, "Did you hear about Java?" I said, "What?" She goes, "Did you hear about Java?
The Java exploit."
I go, "What about Java?" She goes, "You shouldn't have it." I said, "I didn't hear about Java." She goes, "Well, if you have it, your computer's gone."
Yep, that's it.
That's it. If you have Java, you're done, right? So I'm like, no, I haven't heard about Java. So like the other thing, not only the vocabulary that they learn from these commercials that want to take all their money for their own mistakes, they also hear about the worm of the day or the new exploit, the backdoor, the virus.
It's always virus.
That makes the news like 7 days after the thing is hit.
Yeah, when it's already too late.
Yeah, the worst of it has already hit, and now they're teasing it on the nightly news. Just terrible. God damn it, I don't even know where the fuck I was with that, Steve.
It doesn't matter.
You stopped watching on your computer, and you were watching wrestling, and you were getting all fucking psyched because we mentioned Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan on the last episode. So you decided to give it another view.
And they said The Rock was coming back for the first time in 10 years to SmackDown. So I'm like, you know what? I like The Rock. I like him as an actor. I liked him as a wrestler back in the day.
You like him as an actor?
Yeah, I love The Rundown. You didn't like The Rundown?
Did you like the movie where he had wings and he fucking was a tooth fairy? Did you like that one?
Never saw it.
Did you like the one where he was a taxi cab driver to Fancyland for the kids or whatever the fuck that was?
He actually, because they announced him as a billion-dollar actor, like he has grossed over $1 billion in his acting career, and he said something about, he made a mention in his return speech about the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it, dude, really? But it was pretty good. You know, I was getting into it. I was getting a little nostalgic, because when I was a little kid, I used to watch wrestling. I'm not going to deny it. Like, every kid did.
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely did. I even watched it into the beginning of my adulthood, because I had friends that were huge into it and always were. And whenever I was over with them, they would have it on.
Right.
So I had to get into it. So I watched a fair bit of it for a while, but, like, I have no desire to watch that shit now. No desire.
I think I haven't, Randy Taylor.
I'm sorry, Clayton just fucking blew up my mind by suggesting that Randy Taylor might have called Jimmy Dean Sausage on a break on a commercial break for Thursday Night Thunder on TBS. Anyway,
that's DJ New Style doing Will Ferrell doing George Bush.
I love your products, the quantity of your products, but I ain't gonna have no pussy ass 12-ounce roll of sausage. Anyway, sorry, Steve. Continue, please. You were wrestling. I was watching it.
And you know what? Like, he came out. He was in Miami.
Did The Rock come back to Miami?
No, The Rock has come back home.
Oh, so he did his whole thing, and then he did this. Yeah, okay.
Because he's from Miami. You know, he went to Miami University. He was on the football team.
Yeah.
Who was it? Not Hines Ward. It was that other guy.
What, the Dancing with the Stars? Warren Sapp?
Warren Sapp. That's who it was. Warren Sapp. And
he was there?
No, he wasn't there. Oh no, they had some rapper. I forget who the guy was. It was some rapper that I don't like in the audience, and they shouted him out, and everybody booed.
Was it Chief Keef?
I don't know. It was some rapper. I forget.
There's only about a million rappers.
Yeah, and then he shouted out Ray Lewis.
Too many rappers, but there's still not enough MCs.
Well, that's always the equation.
That's right. So The Rock came back. He shouted out some of his teammates.
His college football teammates. And, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool. What
are some of the names he mentioned? You said Warren Sapp. Any others?
Ray Lewis was the other one.
Ray Lewis was on the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Oh. Was that before or after he murdered two people?
Might have been during.
Hmm. I don't get the reverence that Ray Lewis gets. I don't like that little kids are able to look up to this man.
Wear his fucking jersey. The reverence comes from a guy that played 17 years as a linebacker?
Yeah.
That's somewhat difficult to do. It's easy to kill people, but it's hard to be a linebacker for 17 years and get into the playoffs.
You know what? Here's the thing. You want to be an NFL player and kill somebody and just end your career. End your career. Don't fucking keep playing if you murder somebody. You've just decided to kill somebody. Now you're a murderer. Just stop playing. You don't deserve kudos. You don't deserve fucking credit. I mean, OJ did it in his retirement, but there have been plenty of people that have committed crimes and ended their career. How the fuck does Ray Lewis, well, I mean, his career is over, but by his own choosing now.
Yeah.
How the fuck did he get to play so many fucking years?
I don't know how he didn't get injured as a linebacker 17 years. That's luck. Luck.
If I had a son and he wanted a fucking Ray Lewis jersey, I would feel like I would be doing the wrong thing.
All right, if your son wanted either a Ray Lewis jersey or a Michael Vick jersey, which one would you go with first?
Let's go with the big dog, Mike Vick. Big dog.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Steve, you pick fucking dogs over humans?
I wouldn't pick either. I'd tell the kid to go get a fucking Eli Manning jersey and fucking kick him in the ass.
How about this? He gets a Mike Vick jersey because Mike Vick stood up for himself and fucking did the time for the crime that, honestly, let's just say, it's terrible, but it's not humans. He killed dogs. He did that shit, sure, but he went to jail for it and then came out and played again. Ray Lewis fucking sold his own friend out to stay out of jail.
I wouldn't let him get it either.
He fucking cooperated and fucking sold his buddy out and paid the families off.
I'd let him get a Plaxico Burress jersey just because he's a dumbass. Shit.
Well, he was a good wide receiver. Can't take that away from him.
Very good. Caught the ball right on his head and won the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't. No, he did not. That was David Tyree.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Hmm. You want to be fucking crafty, Steve.
Yeah, I'm getting my Giants mixed up. I'm not a football fan. I'm a baseball fan. What can I say? Well, mix it up.
So you're a baseball fan. Your team is the New York Baseball Yankees.
Yep, among others. I still like the Mets. Still like the Mets. I still pull for the Mets.
I will congratulate you that you are a baseball fan and you're not like Jimmy Spickle and fucking the day the season ends, you post a number of days till fucking pitchers and catchers report. And then every fucking week you continue to do it. There's people that just fucking that love baseball a little too goddamn much.
Yeah,
fucking 360 days. Like, Jesus Christ.
Maybe in March.
I'm surprised he doesn't. As soon as they report, he doesn't start fucking saying when they report again. 365 days. Look, catchers and pitchers report. I'll do that shit, I'll include him. I'll tag him on Facebook. Do that.
So you're a baseball fan now?
No, I'm a WWE fan, Steve, just like you.
Come on, you're a baseball fan.
I am. Fucking wrestling! I can't believe you just watched. Did you enjoy watching wrestling? I'm fascinated by this because it's just so fucking silly, Steve.
I lost interest. I guess halfway through his speech, like he was doing his speech, doing his general shtick, if you will, and like some random tag team that was challenging the tag team champions in an upcoming event or something like that came out and started messing with. I'm like, dude, who are these guys? Why don't you just let The Rock say what he wants to say?
They got
to
get somebody over, you know? They got to make the new racist stereotype character.
Oh, my God. You know what? It was really bad because they were in Miami and the Big Show. I don't know if you remember him.
Paul White. I do. The Giant.
The next Andre the Giant.
He's really Andre the Giant's fucking son. You know that?
Yeah.
Dude, he's really his son.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that shit.
That's ridiculous. But he came out and, oh my God, he was just ripping Latinos for like, seriously, 15 minutes straight. He had the microphone and was just ripping Latinos in Miami. And they were all cheering him. They were cheering him. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know, fucking, I can't do it. I mean, I'll say this. If I went over a friend's house and he's like, you know what, let's put this shit on and just make fun of it. Or he had it on and he was watching it. I'd probably watch it with somebody. I don't think I could find myself alone watching wrestling. I just don't think I could do it.
I was too lazy to change the channel.
My dad would fucking flip channels and he would advertise me and be, fucking keep it, and then angrily hit that button to the next one. Yeah, keep it. He would see somebody talking about like, oh, and the hungry and the yeah. He would just go yeah, and fucking angrily hit the button, go to the next one. And I remember one time he was doing.
Wait, what is that? Like the Christian?
Fund? Like the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Yeah, click.
They don't have those anymore.
Click. Well, this is a long time ago that I was with him flipping through the channel when it was a click. So I remember one time he had just angrily flipped to a channel and it happened to be that DX was out, and they were doing their fucking crotch chops. DX, Degeneration X, WWF at the time, and they were doing their little fucking thing where they make the X and chop on their fucking their crotches. And they were fucking, the cameraman zoomed up right on the fucking, the logo on the dude's fucking plastic underwear. And my dad just fucking groaned. He goes, fucking faggots. Turned the TV off and walked out of the room.
Nice.
Fucking faggots.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Awful. Yeah, professional wrestling is pretty homoerotic when you think about it. I mean, well, you don't even need to think about it. It just is.
I would feel embarrassed, like, 'cause I was into wrestling for a time, and I would watch that shit, and my dad would always come in at like the most fucking gay
worst
moment.
Time.
The gayest moment ever. Like
when we pulled somebody's pants down.
You know, like or when they have like the move, their patented move involves like cradling the guy, like you fucking get behind him, yeah. Wrap your legs around the dude. Like the fucking, I don't even know, whatever.
Ken Shamrock or whatever.
Figure four or some shit, or the one that Bret Hart does where he sits
Boston
on the guy's
Crab.
Ass.
Boston Crab.
My dad would always come in watching them fucking fags and then walk out. I'm like, Jesus Christ. God, it is a little bit fucking gay, isn't it? These guys have their differences and they're really hashing it out by embracing one another. Just rubbing their spandex together. It's a little queer.
It
Steve.
Is. It's very queer.
But, hey, you love it, and you chose to watch it all by
I don't
your
love
lonesome.
It. I never said I loved it.
You
it
said you loved it.
As a child,
damn it. Yeah.
As a kid in the
Keep
heyday.
It. Keep it.
In the golden age.
Oh, you know, like, Jesus Christ. My dad would put an extra syllable in Christ when he didn't
Christ.
Like a show. Jesus Christ.
Hit Did he button. Add the H?
Yeah. Christ. And the other thing would be is if there was something political on TV that he disagreed with, he would dismiss that entire show by calling the person a commie pinko fag and changing the channel.
Commie pinko fag.
Yeah. I remember there were like...
Wait, hold on. What fell under commie pinko fag?
Like Bill Clinton would be a commie pinko fag. I mean, it's really just anybody he disagreed with.
What, being a Democrat?
Pretty much. I mean, okay. for example, like, I love watching movies like Office Space with my dad. Like, where people... My dad laughs the most at scenes where people are kind of getting fucked over. So, like, when that, you know, not gonna work here anymore. My fucking dad loves that shit. He loves that movie because they're getting fucked over. And so whenever I encountered movies where, like, I know my dad would laugh, my dad would find this silly shit really funny, and it would be great to watch it with him. Just to see him fucking erupt in laughter. I'm like, Dad, you know, you got to watch this movie. And he's like, oh, yeah? Who's in it? That's his first question.
Who's in it?
Who's in it?
And he caught me pinko fags.
And like, because he would refuse to watch movies that have actors in it that he disapproved of or he disagreed with. Like, for years, he wouldn't watch Will Ferrell movies. Like, he still won't.
What?
He just still won't.
He is completely missing out.
Well, not anymore. I mean, there was a 3-year wave where like you're missing all the best movies. Now it's like, oh, yeah, he could, yeah, maybe he's right. You know, maybe I don't disagree with him. I agree with him.
Oh,
no
you
more.
Put a chink in his armor.
Yeah, a little bit. But my dad would never watch anything. Just like Clayton here, he would never watch anything with Barbara Streisand or Jane Fonda. If they were on
either.
The TV, my dad would go. My dad would work another fucking syllable into Christ. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
He would get so fucking livid just seeing their dumb fucking faces. And you know what? I applaud him for that. Because all he can give them
I
is that.
I applaud him for that even today, because I wouldn't watch anything with either Barbara Streisand or Jane Fonda right now.
Oh, you're not going to watch the hilarious movie with Seth Rogen and no. Barbara Streisand?
No, I know my mom.
They're so cool, Steve. They could look at the Grand Canyon and just say, so what do? Just stand here for 5 minutes? Yeah, that's it. You fucking pieces of shit.
No, I'm taking a pass on that movie.
Yeah, I am too. I am done with Seth Rogen. He is officially a commie pinko fag, according to my dad.
Well, he smokes a lot of weed, so.
Well, one time my dad told me that he wouldn't watch a movie with some, I can't remember who it was. It might have been someone on like SNL. And I said, well, why don't, I mean, he's funny. He's not bringing his politics in the movie. Why won't you watch it? He goes, oh, he said something bad about Ronald Reagan.
Dude, Ronald Reagan was a very central, you know.
He said something bad about him. And you know what? And that was enough. My dad was done with that person.
Ronald Reagan was like, he'd be a Democrat in today's world.
Would he?
Dude, he tried to make peace with China.
He used to be a Democrat, or he was originally a Democrat. And
yeah, as an actor. As an actor he was.
And then he became a spokesman for several corporations and decided that businesses were good. And yeah, I really doubt that Ronald Reagan would be a fucking Democrat in today's world.
He would be a central leaning Republican. He wouldn't be a far right Republican. Let's get that. Let's just say that.
Let's just stop with the politics. I mean, really, yeah, what is this?
Yeah.
Can we just turn off this road back onto the road of talking about our shit?
Because, gun rights.
Because I think you're
talking about gun rights and people who need to have their guns.
Why'd you put a little Southern twang on that? You got something against Clayton? You want him to fly back up for a fucking antisocial event?
Gun jamboree.
Another antisocial event where we drink and fucking waste all our money. Oh, man. Steve, you did show up for that, didn't you? That's right. You drank 3 40-ounce beers.
I drank your 40 that you didn't finish.
Yeah, I figured after 80 ounces of fucking Miller High Life, I couldn't finish a third. I couldn't do it.
And I finished my third and drank your fourth.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't do it. Well, Steve, it's an amazing thing, you know. Getting a little bit older, you know, taking responsibility in my own hands. By the way, working hard for Heroes Talk. Doing a lot of stuff good behind the scenes, making some utilities to make maintaining it for all of us eventually a little easier. We're going to be expanding. I know I keep saying that, but this is definitely fucking happening. It's going down. And I just want to say that anybody out there who enjoys a show on Heroes Talk, who is a part of the Heroes Talk family, any of that, just go to heroestalk.com/Amazon, click on our link, and buy yourself something. We're not going to ask you to – we're not going to sing the praises of postage services. We're not going to ask that you sign up for some site that will give you a scale to measure letters. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and some of the fucking sponsors on there are on everything. Like, for example, there's like there's a stamps website, right? And every podcast has a fucking ad with stamps – whatever. And the hosts on these shows read the same copy and they try to sell it to their fucking listeners like it's like this is something they're absolutely going to need. Meanwhile, the majority of their fucking listeners have never addressed an envelope.
Who listens to a podcast and then sends an envelope with a stamp on it?
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
That's just juxtaposed.
It's just so fucking tedious.
Society.
So what we found on Heroes Talk is that the best sponsor is something where you buy whatever the fuck you want, and it helps us out. So whatever you're into. Steve, you're into DVDs now. You really want to get that Best of the Undertaker Blu-ray.
Yeah, Best of the Undertaker.
You want the How I Fell in Love with Junkyard Dog DVD?
I love Junkyard Dog. Another one bites the dust.
You want to get some spandex pants with the word thump on the side?
No, it's got to say Ricky the Dragon Steamboat down the side.
Well, anything you want, you are likely to find on Amazon.com. So we're not going to try to push stamps on you. We're not going to try to get you into some subscription where you can rent video games or movies or anything else. Because while some of those are great services, truthfully, anything you want is on Amazon. So just go there. Buy it for yourself and enjoy it. And think of us. Go through our link and we get a small kickback and you get whatever it is you wanted. HeroesTalk.com/Amazon. I don't know if you saw this, but I posted a video on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. I posted it. It's a brief 22-second video.
Oh, yeah.
From the grocery store.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I hate the grocery store, man. Fuck going. Oh, man.
You don't like the grocery store?
Oh, that is the worst place to ever go ever.
I'm getting, you know what? I think it's a skill. And I think I'm getting good at it.
It is a skill. It is a skill.
I'm getting good. I'm like level 15 grocery store shopper. Level 15.
You need to know, like, the first point.
I've got my quest weapon. I'm ready to fucking go. I'm going to kill the blood champ. Fucking Major Mod. Jesus Christ. How much of my brain was dedicated to this useless bullshit that nobody knows?
Get the black leather tunic.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so I'm getting pretty good at it. I think it's a skill that you can get better at. And every time I go, I learn like a new move. I try to teach myself a new move. There's certain shopping cart tactics you need to know. You need to realize that any place you see a concentration of kids that just are standing around,
avoid.
Just don't even go. Cut around them. They're not going to move for you. They're not going to move for you. You're going to graze them because you want to graze them to teach them a lesson, and that'll just incite their fucking parents, which are equally sloth-like but more angry because they're adults that are paying for the shit in that cart.
Right, right.
So you have to avoid them. I'm learning all this shit, and I think I'm getting good, and you don't like it. Why don't you like it, Steve?
What, going to the supermarket?
Nobody likes going there, but why do you hate it so much? I hate it, but I kind of enjoy the journey of mastering it, in and out, no pain, no fucking no holdups from people, no dead eyed looking kids holding onto a bag of fucking Reese's just staring at me as I'm mowing them down with carrots in a fucking cart.
Right now, just the whole, this is a double edged sword for me because I love. Going to the supermarket, like if it was empty, if there was no one in there, I would fucking love going to the supermarket any day of the week, any time of the day.
Putting your fucking dirty hands on all the fruit.
No, I don't. I don't touch fruit. I'm very much a non-fruit toucher, or produce toucher.
But you do watch wrestling.
Shut up. Anyway,
snippy.
What?
A little snippy.
I do watch wrestling. I told you I watch one. 1 hour.
All right, you fruit toucher. Let's get on with the grocery store.
Yeah.
Wait, anyway. Are you mad? I'm sorry. Did I just fucking upset you, Steve?
No, you did because you made a generalization that's untrue, and you know it's untrue.
I've called you Steve the LARPer for fucking 16 years at this point.
I don't care. That's what I'm known as. That's my name now.
Now you're Steve the Wrestler.
Yeah, right.
El Nacho Steve Ray.
I'll go with that.
What's your luchador name?
My luchador name?
Yes.
I'd have to think about that. It would take hours of deep concentration to get a luchador name.
Okay. Anyway, so you go there and you would love to just go around and look at all the shit and see what's there.
No one there.
Yeah. It'd be nice. I do like being in the supermarket when there's nobody there because I could almost simulate a round of supermarket sweep where I pretend now I have my empty cart and I just rush through and just start throwing hams in my cart and then check out. And then I realize, I'm not on a game show. I actually have to eat all these fucking hams.
Yeah, like if I was on supermarket sweep, that's like I've actually like gone to supermarkets and like stayed in one area and said, wow, why didn't these motherfuckers just clean out the fucking spice department?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, let me get huge hams at $2 a pound.
Yeah, no one ever put saffron in their fucking cart. Like, come on.
Lantern batteries.
right. Just, no one went to the battery department. No one ever.
They should have just filled their carts with AAAs and fucking Advil. That's all they needed to do. They would win every single fucking time. But no, I don't know, people would, on that show, they would fucking just turn it into, like, an actual shopping trip. There would be the people that had the theory that, well, the meat's the most expensive. I'm going to just load up on meat. Great, that's a strategy. But then there'd be like, I like bread, so I'll get bread. I'll get diapers. Like, they're actually going to use this shit.
Bread on supermarket sweep? That's dumb.
Yeah, it is. Actually, is it? Because think about it this way. You fill your whole cart with fucking bread and marshmallows. and then just fucking throw those big ham bricks on it, just flatten the shit, and you make more fucking area that way.
That would be great if someone on Supermarket Sweep bought, like...
Just
like
damaged all the food.
No, they just filled their cart... They filled their cart with bread first, like, that's, like, the first stop.
Just started stomping on it.
Yeah, and they just jumped in the cart and smashed it to just, like, a layer.
Now, did you have to check out before the time was up, or the...
No,
just acquire the groceries.
No, you could have as many carts as you want. Remember, you would tag off to your partner.
That's right, yeah. And then, oh, God, how infuriating was it? Like,
your partner sucked ass.
Yeah, like, when a team would be a husband and a wife, the husband is, like, fucking stretching. Like, he was he had tried to get on American Gladiators, but, like, all his athletic training had to go into Supermarket Sweep. He's fucking pushing this shit, running. I saw one guy, like, shove the cart, pull shit off, run up to the cart, throw it in. Shove the cart, run, rip shit off, throw, like, a constantly moving engine. Fucking brings the last cart in, tags his wife, and she's, like, fucking skipping, and like, ah! Like, pawing at her fucking face, like, with quizzical looks, just wondering, like, where's the triamidic? I need the, we...
Oh, yeah, they wanted to find, like, the special item that was, like, $500 or whatever it was.
And then they would do that split screen where you can tell they're gonna get a divorce after this fucking game show. Come on! Biting his fucking... Like, come on! You fucking... Man, I wish they bring that show back. They have every fucking reality show under the goddamn sun. They don't bring back fucking...
I would watch it.
Everybody would watch that shit.
I would watch that in an instant.
My favorite was when there would be a black couple on Supermarket Sweep. Nobody could beat a black couple on Supermarket fucking Sweep.
No, because they know what's expensive. They're like, we can't buy this shit. Let's get it
right
now.
That's so racist. I was just going with their athleticism from selective breeding. Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'll be the racist in this, in this instance.
Obviously, it just is a coincidence, right? That they were the best on every fucking game show that required athleticism. Yeah. Anyway, so Supermarket Sweep, amazing. And they should bring it back. I'm tired of this, like, you know, hour and 2 hour fucking block of the real housewives. Oh, here's another fucking garage full of shit that we're going to throw money at.
Hey,
oh,
guys,
here's another
guy.
Yeah, here's another guy that lives in the woods and he's going to tell you how to live. Like you're ever going to go in the woods. You just hope he dies secretly on his show. I wonder what percentage of fucking viewers of Survivor Man or Bear Grylls, even though he's bullshit, what percentage of them actually have used the survival tactic?
Well, hold on. Bear Grylls is bullshit. Survivor Man
was
more real.
He is, but he still provides information.
Well, yeah, there was some real information, but Survivor Man was definitely more of a survivalist.
I mean,
there's
no question. There's no question there. But I wonder how many people are watching because they want to sharpen their survivalist.
No, they just want to see him get worms and puke.
Yeah, like oh, watch it.
Or shit.
Oh, this is a show where he drinks piss to live. Yeah. Okay, we'll watch that. It's incredible. But Supermarket Sweep has no place. Bring that shit back.
Bring back a American Gladiator, man.
The shopping cart says I love foodies. Yeah, American Gladiator was brought back, and it didn't do well.
Really?
Yeah, they had Hulk Hogan as the host.
What?
Yeah. And fucking Ric Flair just put a chop right in the fucking show's chest, and it was canceled. It just got fucking canceled.
Much to Best in Show Chris's chagrin.
No, Best in Show Chris would agree that that's exactly how every show gets canceled, because it is the most devastating move, according to him.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's the one that watches wrestling. I'm fucking going on about Ric Flair. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So what I noticed at the supermarket is now that parents don't have control of their kids because they don't hit anymore.
No.
I remember getting smacked upside the head several times in the supermarket, or at least being threatened until I would shut up. But these kids just have fucking free reign of the whole grocery store.
Now, when you were a kid and your mom got a shopping cart,
yes,
right? I'm talking like 4, 5, 6 years old.
So I'm in the seat, or I'm inside. I'm inside the cart, or I'm in the
okay,
seat.
Okay, which one were you? Because I wasn't inside the car. I didn't want to sit in the fucking seat. And
I mean,
my legs
let's face it, Steve. Everybody probably had that stage where they were put inside the cart. And then you got some kind of awareness. you realize that where I want to be is with the fucking the peas.
Right.
I want to be among the tuna cans and fucking cereal boxes. Now, so I would sit in there. It would be like a whole fucking apartment. It was so big.
Exactly. It's like a fort inside a cart.
Yeah, and you're just getting wheeled around, and you're in this fucking. It's almost like you're a prisoner. You just put your fingers through the side of it.
Now, have you ever seen those pictures of like mothers and everyone's like getting pissed at the mothers because like the little kid is like inundated with canned goods and fruit, and everyone's like, "Oh, this mother is horrible," and the little kid's sitting there like just you know holding up 100 pounds of fucking produce, and I'm like, I thought the other day because I saw one of those pictures, and I'm like, I would have loved that shit.
That would have been awesome.
Like I used to do that. Like I did maybe when I was 2, 3. I probably sat in a little seat.
You know what it is now? Like there was room in the cart when I was a kid. For some reason, my mom wouldn't just go and like stock up for the winter. She would actually just buy groceries we needed. She would go frequently, so there was room in the cart. Now, everywhere you look, every fucking mom with two kids has a fucking supermarket sweep cart filled with every fucking cat food can, just completely packed. And for some reason, these mothers that have their kids with them, a lot of them just take the cart wherever the fuck they go. Like people are gonna shop from their cart. They're so fucking protective of their selection.
Have you ever seen that? Hold on. Have you ever seen that? Like people who were just overly like
no, they
were convinced.
I never do.
No. There were the mothers that are overly convinced that someone is gonna steal food out of their cart. Meanwhile, you have an entire store to shop from.
Oh yeah, no, that's the thing I'm saying. They block up and congest the aisles because they have to have their fucking their battering ram of a cart that's filled with shit.
Within eyesight.
They have to have it with the I'm gonna turn into the thin fucking aisle, the one and a half cart width aisle full of the Spanish products, the Goya aisle.
No, that's international foods.
Yeah, well, that's why is that always the narrowest aisle in the ShopRite? Explain that to me. Why is that always the narrowest aisle? Go ahead and look. Any fucking grocery store, the international aisle, unless, of course, it's a Korean or Indian grocery store where
then
all of
every
it,
single one is
all of it is.
There are no shopping carts at those stores.
That's true. It's just fucking bags that you bring in fucking from other stores.
Yeah.
But yeah, if there's an arrangement of Goya cans in an aisle, that aisle is fucking narrower than any aisle.
I'm gonna have to test that.
You should. And let's see how far we've come, ShopRite. Fucking change the floor plan. Give them an extra half a foot. Let them fit two carts in that fucking aisle. Either that, Steve, or there'll be a fucking support beam right in the middle.
No, you know what? You know
there'll
what?
Be a fucking support beam, and it's impassable.
I do know what you're talking about, and you know what? I'm just thinking right now. You know what the largest aisle is width-wise?
I'm gonna go with the soft drinks.
No, wrong.
What's the widest aisle?
Chips and crackers. Whatever aisle has Tostitos on it. If there's a Tostitos
that is the
aisle,
roomiest shit in the goddamn supermarket.
Tostitos aisle. It's usually like chips, crackers, soda, water.
You know why it's so fucking wide? Because they have to accommodate for the fat fucks who constantly go there and pull off the, I'll get the fried vegetable chips today. I'm having a back fat day. I'm gonna have the fried veggie chips.
Yeah, fried veggie chips.
Fried veggie chips. So with words like honest or some shit, or like lean. Every product they have is fucking lean or honest or pure or fucking humble, some quality in every one of their fucking snacks.
Most of those people don't even know what the fuck that means.
It's good for you. Deep fried anything with the word humble. Bullshit. Yeah, so I noticed that since the kids are so fucking unruly, it seems every third aisle to check out, every third register lane, is a candy-free aisle.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of the candy-free aisle? Candy-free for your convenience?
Not in my area, no.
This used to be my favorite part when I would be with my mom as a kid. I'm in my fucking shopping cart glory. I'm being carted around like a fucking, like a prince.
And you see
now we come to
crunch
the
bars.
We come to the fucking the high M&Ms. Pressure sales area. Like, what are we getting? We're getting a Snickers.
Reese's
Pieces? We're gonna get some
Pieces
Twizzlers. Song? What are we gonna get? And so I would employ whatever tactic I had, whether it was like I'm gonna pretend I'm pathetic or sick or unhappy or that I haven't had one in such a long time. I don't even ask you. I will never ask you. And
best,
I would try and get my
logic right there.
That's kid logic. You want that fucking Snickers bar? What are you gonna do to get it?
When was the last time I had a Snickers, Ma? Really, really?
You don't know. I don't know. It's been so long. So that would be great. You'd have to negotiate, but my mom would have that fucking iron pimp hand. Like, fuck no, you're not getting a goddamn Snickers.
Eat Velveeta.
Like, can I have a Snickers? No. That's it. End of story. No whining. No bullshit. Because she conditioned me, and she you know, gave me some expectation that I would ask. I'm able to ask, but I'm probably going to hear no. And whenever she didn't say no, let me have one. It was a fucking treat. But now kids are just fucking maniacs that they have to have every third aisle is candy free. So it's just bullshit, like magazines and batteries.
Right. You know what they do now? Kids just flip out and cry and scream and yell. Like, I've never seen, like, in my entire life, when I was young, I've never seen that happen at a grocery store. I've never seen that happen.
Like, a kid fall to the ground and just scream at his mom.
I've seen mothers just, like, with a leash and a harness on their child. And they're dragging them around.
That shit has been around forever, though. I mean, I remember when I was little and I would see some kid like about my age, and I'd look over and I'm like, oh, well, he's wearing like overalls. And then you would pass me, and there's like a fucking Iditarod dog harness on him, and he's got a telephone cord tied to it.
You saw that when you were young? Because you're you're 30, you're in your 30s, right?
Well, I remember that. They had
I never saw that when
they
I was
had
young.
The shit that like a surfer would use to keep his board, you know, like if he fell off, they had that shit around their fucking back. Or their arm, because everybody was freaked out about who's the kid who got his fucking head lopped off in the duffel bag? Code Adam. The fuck was that?
I have no
idea. Adam Walsh. The kid was just playing Atari. Oh. Was really psyched about it and got himself killed.
America's Most Wanted.
Exactly. So people were fucking freaked out about that. So they tied their kids with fucking
I didn't know that's
like
what
specialty
happened.
Leashes and shit. And I remember I was walking next to a kid. And he passed me, and I saw this fucking harness that he had, and his mom had this fucking thing in her hand and was just looking, like, at fucking sales as she was walking by. She would stop, the kid would keep going, the fucking kid would jolt back. Like when Teddy is too amped up about going for a walk. Just fucking... And she would go and yank him as she walked into Casual Corner or whatever fucking Bamburgers or whatever dumb store.
Bamburgers?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What up, 80s? So yeah, the kid leash has been around for quite a while, and now
I think it's
definitely more prevalent, but I don't know. I think maybe a lot of it was that the carts were emptier. People didn't shop for like the next month or they just didn't eat a lot.
When I was young, I never saw a full cart.
I never did. If you ever saw the full cart, it was shit that was being put back. But now it's every single cart is a fucking Eskimo sled filled with all kinds of shit. They're just trying to get back to their little ice house igloo, and it's all full. And the kids are just fucking running around, and the poor mothers have to fucking manage this shit.
The poor mothers.
Listen.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Sure. Why, Steve? Why fuck them?
Because number one, they can't drive. Number two, they can't park. Number three, they have no idea how to navigate a grocery store. Number four, they don't know how to control their kids. Number five, their kids are fucking insanely smelly pieces of shit that run around everywhere.
Holy fuck!
You can't even walk around with a goddamn hand basket in a goddamn grocery store anymore. You can't do that.
All right.
I feel like an asshole. No, honestly, I feel like an asshole because I go to the grocery store and I take a hand basket.
I'm not trying to be like somebody in The View and say being a mom is the hardest and most important job there is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that as a person, as a person looking at this woman who has a fucking cart full of shit that she had to get. She probably spent all this fucking time getting it, keeping the kid in line, and now the kid is on the fucking ground screaming and embarrassing the shit out of
her. That's her fault. That's her fault.
You can't have a moment where you know she fucked up, but you feel like a little bit for her.
No, no.
Never? You can't?
No, because that's her fault. That's her fault. That's her husband's fault. Even if the husband is gone, that's also her fault because she didn't work it out. But you know what? Any kid that acts horribly.
Oh, I thought you meant if the husband died. Like she didn't work it out. Find a new dick?
No,
Jesus
dude.
Christ.
You know I'm the last person that would go that route.
That's true. But that's why it shocked me a little bit.
No, I'm just saying, like, these kids have two horrible parents, and she doesn't know how to control her kids. Like, I don't remember at all with any of my friends, anybody, I was young, I was below 8 years old.
You know, this whole I don't remember shit, yeah, I say it too, and I actually don't remember it, but I guarantee you, with adult eyes, that same shit was probably happening.
No, it wasn't.
I guarantee you a lot of it was still happening.
I'm telling you, I remember everything that happened when I was young.
I didn't know you had such a fucking photographic memory at six.
I did. What I'm saying is, I don't remember. I have never seen, especially when I was younger, under 8 years old, anybody acting like that. Anybody that I ever knew, anybody in a grocery store with their parents, I have never seen anyone act as I have in the last 8 years.
I don't. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just a different school of thought with parenting. The kid is glorious. The kid can make no mistakes. The kid, whatever the kid does, that's the kid's nature. It's like I don't know.
But catering. I mean, it's too much catering to them. Like, why? They're 8 years old. They don't know how to shit their pants.
Well, they do. They're pretty good at that.
At 8 years old?
At 8 years old, I went to... By the way, I am Facebook friends with somebody who shit their pants at 8 years old and moved because they were so embarrassed. They're fucking... their family... I think it was because he was so embarrassed that he shit his pants, but the next year, his family was gone. I just remember that in second grade, I think it was Mrs. White's classroom.
All right, name dropping.
That's right. What's up, Mrs. White? How you doing? Remember how old you were, and I don't remember what you looked like.
She might be
dead. I just remember your name. Oh, respect the dead. I remember this kid. Someone was taking something off his desk. He grabbed it and went, "It's mine!" And he shit his pants. He was so unhappy that someone was going to take something off his desk. He fucking grabbed it, and with all his might, he growled, "It's mine," and fucking
shit his pants.
Rocketed shit out of his little asshole into his pants, and there was a big fucking like mess because he sat back down, and it just grounded into that like that rough plastic seat desk combo.
I can't believe we're both from Northern New Jersey because no one did that.
I swear to God, I remember like they roped off that area. They put wood chips and shit that like the little sawdust like they do when they puke. Like janitors have had no fucking idea what to do. Like anytime something was smelly, they just put something on it.
Cat litter. I don't know,
cat litter, sawdust. Just soak it up. Anything to soak it up. Well, Charlie took a shit because somebody took his reading book.
Dude, I don't even remember that in like preschool.
Steve, I know that here's what's irritating me about you. You're acting as though the memory, your capability to remember shit in preschool holds up. You know?
I think it does.
It doesn't fucking hold up. It doesn't hold up as a means of qualifying today's social behaviors. I'm sorry. I agree with you. Kids are more fucked up now than they were when I was kids. But that's every generation. It's been just fucking... just spiraling inward. Every generation has been shittier than the last.
It's been accelerating as it's spiraling.
And eventually, what we implode, do we start winding back out? And then every generation is better than the last. What happened?
Oh my God! I wish for that day. I'll tell you that much.
No, it's just gonna keep getting shittier and shittier and fucking shittier. I don't know what it is.
Idiocracy.
But I feel like there is a little credence to Germ Freak's quip that he would throw back at us particularly. He would say, well, you don't have kids, so you don't fucking know. You don't have kids.
I think there's zero credence in that.
There is some credence to it.
No.
I think there is.
I think there's zero.
Why is that worthless to you?
Both of us have no kids, right?
That's right.
Now, do you think either me or you would know how to raise a child better than someone who has kids?
No.
You don't think you could raise someone better than the mother of Honey Boo Boo?
Well, you're saying someone, and I thought you meant a general person that had
anyone.
General person that had kids, not like the worst example of someone who has a kid.
Exactly. I'm just saying anyone.
I could be a better parent than someone that has a kid. Right. Not than just the average person, but there are definitely people that never, even.
Hold on. Now you said you could raise someone better than someone who has a kid.
Then at least one person. Sure.
All right. What do you think the percentage of people? Because you said you could do it better than someone who does have a kid.
Oh, I think it's a high percentage. I think there's a shitload of bad parents.
So,
for example, I think my dog Teddy would be a better father than 15% of men.
So what percentage would you put yourself in? How many people, like out of 100, do you think you could raise a kid better than?
I don't know. Half. I'd say half.
You think you're better than 50%?
I think so. Not having any idea of how I would react to the idea of being a parent, you know?
Right.
Like, I have my notions I would like to one day, but I don't know the true feeling that would happen when I would find out that I'm going to be, or I am.
I think a lot of people have kids just to have kids.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm going to be 30 soon. I got to have a kid.
Yeah.
And they do it, and they have a family. They're married. Maybe they're not married. Maybe I think women want to have kids before they can't have kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of women do it only because they say, oh, look, 50% of my friends on Facebook have kids. I'm gonna have a kid. And I think that's fucking horrible. I think there's a lot of unfit parents out there.
Okay.
And I think it's an ever increasing number. I think I know people. Most of the people I know, I'm glad to say, I think are very fit parents. But when I walk out into the world and have to deal with most people, I think everyone is an unfit parent.
Yeah, like, the thing is, Steve, you're a single guy who is excited to have a video game or a brand new TV. Like, it's a different mindset. Than somebody who's a parent. Here's the thing. It's like the baseball fan saying, I don't know how these owners could fuck up running the team. Well, you really don't know the full details yet. You think you know the component. Oh, well, there's, you know, checks and balances, fucking money coming in, going out. How hard could it be? Well, there are some things that you probably wouldn't really know. And I have to believe that. I'm just extrapolating that because I don't fucking know.
I don't agree because I think every single one of us, anybody that's listening to this show, has been a kid raised by a parent, right?
True, but you just described being carted around in a grocery store. You know what I mean? Like, that's the perspective you had on this happening. You don't remember all the details. You don't remember everything that made you. You may say you do, but I guarantee you fucking don't.
No, I guarantee you I don't either, but I remember a bulk of it. I remember what made me happy as a kid.
I'm saying that while Frank may not be entirely, completely, 100% right,
Frank is
he does have a point in that we're complaining about something that we've never had a hand in.
No, but you know what? I have had a hand in it.
Have you? How old is your son?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that, but have you ever had a hand in raising a kid?
No.
Have you ever been a babysitter? Have you ever watched kids for your relatives?
Fuck this, Steve. It's so fucking different. It's so fucking different. You watch a kid for a fucking afternoon and now you're fucking Dr. Spock.
No, but have you ever seen a young kid with their parents being completely horrible?
And this is another thing, Steve, that fucking that parents hate, and I know they hate it, is when someone sees their kid misbehaving, when someone who doesn't have kids tries to do something and calms them down, like they know what the fuck it's like 24 hours a day.
What if that works?
What if what works, Steve?
What if the person that doesn't have kids can calm down a kid in 2 seconds? Meanwhile, the parents are with the kids for fucking the majority of the time.
That's why they can't do what you do, Steve. Because they're with the kid every fucking day. Every fucking day. Every goddamn day.
So they should fucking learn by that point. That's why.
No, Steve, I have to fucking disagree with you here. It's anything that you take care of. So if for example... Yeah, you should have a kid. Go Weed is saying, you should have a kid.
I would love to have a kid. I would love to
go
have
do it. Kids. Knock some broad up and fucking make it happen. Because it doesn't matter if it's a dog, if it's a fucking an elderly person you take care of, if it's a fucking kid. Some outsider.
I've done all three, too.
But for how long, Steve? And how long on a day-to-day basis?
Months at a time.
Months. Well, months. Not Steve, a baby. Months. Not a baby.
You said a dog. I took care of a dog for fucking years and years.
Great. So when someone who doesn't have a dog gets your dog to drop something and it says, yeah, that's how you do it. You're like, fuck you, dude. You don't fucking understand the fucking shit that goes on with this dog because you did it once. Or when my mom's taking care of my grandmother and she's fucking fed up. And she's had enough because she's with this attitude and with my grandmother's forgetfulness every day. And I'm like, God, why you gotta be so angry all the time with this?
You just talk
to her like that. I'm not with her, so my brilliant insight is as an outsider. If I'm in it, it's gonna be completely fucking different.
And I understand that.
So don't act like because you can fucking do it for an afternoon, you're just a master. Anybody can do it for an hour. Anybody can do it for 4 hours. Try it every fucking day of your life.
I understand that. Listen,
your life and theirs fucking depends on how you're doing this. And the pressure's on you. When you're a babysitter, it doesn't fucking... Oh, well, they shit their pants. Hey, here they go. Oh, shit. Your kid busted a fucking toe. Sorry. You don't have to worry about that.
Hold on. You don't know what to do? If you're babysitting a kid and they bust their toe, you go to the fucking hospital. If they shit their pants, you fucking change their diaper.
But Steve, you're not getting my point. I'm not done talking. Ultimately, when you're a babysitter, no matter what you do, you have no vested interest in it. So whether or not you know how to fucking set a broken toe or change a diaper, you're still going to give that kid to somebody else and do other things and have it not be on your fucking mind. I'm sorry, now you may talk.
All right. It's not going to be on your mind, number one. It's going to be on your mind because you assumed responsibility for another person, for another life. Doesn't matter if it's a dog or a child. If you're babysitting or if you're watching a kid, I mean, it's going to be on your mind. Maybe you disassociate it more than I do, but like when I was little, here's something that stuck with me for a very long time. When I was little, me and my aunt at the time, who was no longer married to my uncle by blood,
they had a blood marriage.
Well, no, she's not a blood relation, is what I'm saying. My uncle is my blood relation.
I'm just fucking with you. Yes.
Okay. So I personally was watching my cousin, first cousin, and she was like a year old. I was 8. She's 7 years younger than me. And it was the first time I ever had to change a diaper. I was fucking 8 years old changing a diaper for my cousin who is now married. And it was kind of funny because I told her husband that I changed her diaper, and he didn't know how to react to it. But anyway, she made me change the diaper. She's like, I'm like, oh, you know, my cousin needs a diaper change, and I referred it to my aunt. She's like, okay, change it. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, change her diaper. And I'm like, all right. So I changed her diaper. And you know what? That stuck with me for a long time because she put all the burden on me. And but you said if a kid breaks her toe, okay, I'll take him to the hospital. If a kid shits their diaper, change their diaper.
Yeah.
You're automatically going to pass off all the blame onto somebody else, and you're going to pass off whatever.
I'm not saying that you wouldn't take care of the kid. Let's say you do take care of the kid. You take the kid to the hospital.
Let's say you do that.
Your duty and your involvement with the kid can end. As a parent, it does for some people, but it shouldn't. And for most parents, it doesn't, and it fucking consumes you. You're worried about your kid all the time. You're worried about if you're doing the right thing all the time. A babysitter is not fucking worried about the kid they fucking watched for 6 hours on Thursday of last week.
What? You're proving my point right now, because what I'm saying is, when you care about someone, your involvement never ends. And parents who actually have kids 24/7, you're saying that I don't have a kid 24/7. I don't have a son or a daughter that I have to think about everything that's happening to them 24/7. And you're thinking this because you're of the same mindset that I am. You think if you take on the responsibility of a life of something living and breathing, you care for it. I think most people right now don't give a shit about their kids. They don't give a shit about their pets. They don't give a shit. They want to have the ability to hand that off to somebody else. And here's a good example. When people send their kids to school, I think at least 80% of the people think that 100% of the responsibility falls on the teacher and not them raising their kids properly.
80%, you think?
At least
80%. I don't know about that. That's a little steep. 80% of the students, you think, have parents that believe the teacher is now the parent, basically.
Right. Yes.
I don't think so. I would say 20%. I'd say there's 20%. Because about it. It's all the kids that were fucking terrible in school, right?
Yeah.
That probably about 20% of the class, depending on the geographical location, of course.
I'd say 30. We're not in South Jersey. We're in North Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. We like Quick Check up here, Matty Friday. You understand? Don't you dare put a fuck Quick Check hashtag on a tweet promoting this show. Son of a bitch. But my only thing is, Steve, I think there's something to a parent saying, maybe you should at least have an idea of what it's like to be a parent before you call somebody a shitty parent. There's glaring cases. But you just said you don't even have a sympathetic thought to a person whose kid is fucking just screaming and fucking being a brat. You have no sympathy towards that.
It you know what? It happens. Even if you're a good parent, that happens. But if you are a good parent, that will not happen for a long time.
It's going to happen to every parent. It's going to happen with every single child. It's what they do.
Absolutely not, so dude.
I don't think there's one fucking child that there's not one person on this fucking world that hasn't thrown a fucking tantrum.
Yeah, but how long does a tantrum last? It doesn't last for two hours.
I'm done. I'm fucking done, Steve.
Come on, man. Come on.
It doesn't last.
I'll do this all night.
I know, because you don't see the fucking point, the arrogance that you have from not being a fucking parent. I mean, you're not a parent. I'm not a parent either. I can't be in a position to have this arrogance over people that are. I think it's being arrogant. You've already said
that there are bad parents.
There truly are, but I'm empathetic. I feel for them when I see their kids just fucking running amok, especially when it's like, when the parent clearly doesn't want this to be happening. When it's a bitch that's got a fucking, not even looking at the kid, then yeah, everybody would agree this bitch should be looking at her kid and shutting the fuck up. When it's someone trying to talk their kid off the fucking tantrum ledge and it's not working, yeah, that's a little difficult to deal with. It's fucking embarrassing for the parent, and it's difficult. And I can fucking
sympathize. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing for the parent. Like, it's something you deal with. It's definitely something you deal with as a parent. But I think
I am just getting so irritated with your authoritative fucking parenting advice. I'm just getting so fucking irritated with it. I can't even tell you. I don't have a kid, and I have no fucking vested interest in the glory of being a parent as far as being able to talk down to people that don't have kids. I don't look forward to that. But what I'm saying is, God damn it, Steve, you are up on your fucking throne about this shit, talking about how to be a good parent.
I am. I will be. You know what? I'll fucking wait.
I think you need a kid first. You absolutely need a fucking kid first. And hold on. Are you saying that, and you just typed this in the chat room to Sandwich Humor Jeff. He said, Steve, what's the average length of a tantrum?
Right.
And what is the average length of a tantrum?
I said 10 minutes if you're a good parent.
How do you know?
Because I never had a tantrum over 10 minutes.
Anybody, you don't know that either. Know? You don't fucking know that because you don't remember every tantrum you've ever thrown.
Yes, I do. I have an eidetic memory.
This is why nobody likes you, Steve.
Bring back Germ Freak, then. Bring Frank on.
I'm not saying to replace you, and I'm not saying I want you off the show. What I'm saying is you are being so fucking stubborn with this.
I am. I will be. I you know what? This is something. I will. You know what?
Let's say this, Steve.
You hit a chord with me on this.
Let's say this. I'm gonna for the benefit of the doubt, I'm gonna say you were a perfect baby. You were a perfect baby. Let's just say, argument's sake.
No, not a baby. Toddler. Toddler. You were a perfect child.
Let's say you never threw a tantrum.
I never did.
Fuck you, dude. But anyway, let's say for argument's sake, you never did. Right? Let's say. How are you able to come up with an average and then cite you as the only fucking evidence?
It's not me. It's everything I've seen in my life. So I would say,
how many tantrums do you think you've witnessed from begin to end?
Oh my God.
And the average is 10 minutes?
No, not in my lifetime. Oh my God. I would say the average tantrum is about 2 hours, but that's only recently. I'm saying, I think things have changed in the last 25 years.
So when Sandwich Humor Jeff says, what's the average length of a tantrum? And you say 10 minutes, what was that based on?
That was based on 1985 to 1990.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we brought out the microfiche from your fucking tantrum stats from 1985.
And go to your local library and find out exactly how long they lasted. Jesus Christ. But,
I don't know. You know what? I am now going to say Germ Freak is right. I have no idea.
God, I'm even more adamant that he is wrong.
It's a banner day. Germ Freak is 100% right.
Hold on. You want to talk about that? Who when we went fishing last time, or the only time me, you, and Germ Freak hung out?
Yeah.
Who identified most with Frank's kids, Frank or me?
You did take something of the role of a teacher. You were like the.
How calm were they with me?
They were pretty calm.
More so than with Frank.
Because they were with you, and they were fishing, and you were teaching them a new skill.
Okay, but were they more calm with me?
Are you trying to get me to say that you're a better dad to his kids than he is?
No, I just want you not to say that. No,
I
don't want you to say that. I just want you to acknowledge who was more calm. Were they more calm with me or more calm with Frank?
In that one afternoon of 2 hours, they were more calm with you.
Thank you.
Now let's see if
you don't think I can extrapolate to
I don't think so. I don't fucking think so.
Me versus Frank? Really?
Yeah. Because
okay.
If you're gonna, are you gonna use Frank's kids?
You know what? I think even if you brought his oldest daughter in the mix,
She's old now and has she's old. She's got fake hips.
She's 16 now.
She's got a fake hip, you know, can't walk right. She's got a swivel walk. She's all wavy. She knows how to act. 316-768-4472.
This has got to be Clayton.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Daddy Steve. Who's this?
Got to be Clayton. This is Clayton from Texas. How are you guys?
I sent some fucking stern words about to be said.
Hold on. Before we say anything else, Clayton, can I just say something before we say anything else?
God damn it, Steve. Look here, Steve. Let me tell you something.
I think Clayton is a very good dad. And like I said earlier, yes. I think most of the people I know in life are very good parents. But when it comes to going out into the world and interacting with other people with kids, I think everybody's horrible. But I think Clayton actually is a very good dad. He always takes time, even during his podcast when he gets interrupted by his kids, which happens a lot. I think Clayton is a very good dad.
100%.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Steve. But the thing about it is I'll tell you what.
Tell me what.
I'm listening on my phone because I'm kind of doing other things, and I was kind of listening back and forth. And okay, the thing, being a parent, it's different. Like, for example, I think I'm a good dad, but if you snapshotted me at the right moment, I'm a raving lunatic.
That's right.
But that's anybody at any moment, right? That's right, anybody. Right.
Now, but the difference is it's like Eric and I have talked about it many times. When you're a babysitter, and even if you have the best intentions, you know there's an end. Like
exactly.
At 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock, they're gone. And so when you walk away, even though you care about them, you're moving on to other things. And when I became a parent, I lost weekends. Especially with babies, like, my sons didn't know the difference, especially at 3 years old, between Friday and Saturday, so we couldn't sleep in. You can't do certain things because they don't understand that. And so being a babysitter, you get them for a couple hours, even for a day. You know, I can do a lot of things in a short period of time when you have nothing else going on. But when you're a parent now, it's like, okay, well, I have to do the same things that you do as a non-parent. I have to go to the grocery store. I have to eat. I have to work. I have to do those things. And now I have the added bonus of another individual with a whole other personality. You know, it's whether or not you can interact with your kids. There's sometimes I love my sons to death, but sometimes they're just assholes. Because I'm an asshole at times. I'm hard to deal with. Well, imagine at 3 kids.
I don't think you are, Clayton. I don't think you're an asshole. That's why I think your kids are good, because you're not an asshole. Erica's not an asshole.
But that's not his point. Like, he's not generalizing that.
No, I understand. I understand. He's got to deal. It's a life. And it's a life he has created, you know, and it's you take full responsibility for that person.
Yeah.
Now, like, what I was going to say, though, is as a babysitter, I babysat my relatives. I didn't babysit other people's kids. I babysat my cousin, like, and they were, for some reason, all female, like, cousins, but...
You know what it's like, Steve, when you bring up the babysitting experience, it's kind of like getting the chance to talk to a pro boxer and telling them about the time you tried out Wii boxing to relate to them. That's kind of where I'm looking at it.
I don't think it is.
Well, hey, I think it's Ken's close, but let me put it this way. Like, somebody who doesn't have a kid, like, you can go – there's always truth in what anybody says. Like, they have an opinion. It's just – that you've got to wait. Like, for example, like this weekend I watched my niece. She stayed a couple days here while her mom was out of town. I love her to death, but it's not my kid.
Yeah,
you know. So I would be more of the hey, don't get into that kid. And I allow her more leniency because, you know, ultimately the life or death, like, you know, why you do and don't do things is somebody else's really responsibility. Her mother has set forth her path. I'm not going to interject myself. I'm just going to make sure that she's safe, that we have a good time. And if she does something really, really stupid, I can feel like I could step in. But it's not my place to discipline her on you know, life choices. That's really her mother, unless her mother asks me to step in. And so
I agree.
It's just a subtle, like I said, I have non-parenting friends who give me advice, and some of them said some very brutal things about children in general. And it offended me, but I've known the guy for 20 years. It offended me because he doesn't know. He'll never know what it's like.
No, I completely agree. I completely agree. I'm just saying that when it's when you're watching, even if it's like 30 minutes and you're watching like someone of your family, you know, that's in your family, you can see that people in your family interact with a child or a toddler or a baby different ways, and you can automatically assume that somebody in your family, even if it's their mother, their aunt, their uncle, their brother, sister, they don't know how to interact with a child and provide a good environment for them to grow up, you know. And
well, one thing is, I mean,
I'm just saying there's a better frame of reference. I think.
I mean, you're also an outsider to that too. I mean, like you also. You brought up the comparison of you versus Frank, in relaxing with the kids and all that stuff. Frank is like has so much more experience at being a parent, so that's why I would pick Frank over you in parenting. Even if I thought, which I don't, that Frank was leading his kids in a wrong way, or he's an erratic man who's driving his kids off a cliff.
I never said that.
Even if I was, I'm saying he has had more experience doing it than you have. So no matter how much insight you think you have, or how many times you have cared for somebody, it doesn't equate to real parenting.
So there can never be someone.
Let's let the actual parent.
All right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, no. But here's another way of looking at it, you know, this is where a slight difference between a babysitter type and a parent type. It goes like this: like being a man, being grown, I think I knew anger, and I think I knew fear, and then I had kids, and when you're sitting in a hospital with, you know, a 4-year-old or 3-year-old with a catheter, that's fear. That's tangible. You don't get that as a, where you're looking at this kid and I'm watching him grow up. He'll be 7 in April, and it's 4 years ago. I'm sitting with him in the hospital, and I would have, like, you know, I would have laid down for him in a second. And I have a connection as a human being. It's the fact that that's my son, you know. And and at the same time, you don't know anger, that the frustration of, like, he has to take that medicine and he will not take it. And that kind of anger where you're just like, you're so angry, you can't lash out at that kid. But the kind of, you don't get that as a babysitter where, as a rule, even if they're upset at you, you can walk away, you can pace. At some point, you're still living in the same house and you can. It's like that Susan Smith thing when she snapped and killed her kids. I said, if you're a parent, and I know this is going to sound a little crazy when I say this, people, I love it. If you're a parent, you know that line. You've seen that cliff. No, you have. And if people who say they haven't are lying through their fucking teeth.
Wow, man.
Wait, what's the line?
I'm a good
man. Do you know who Susan Smith is, Steve?
No,
she's a mother who fucking backed her car into the I think it's the like a lake or something and killed her kids.
Yeah,
she like snapped.
In South Carolina, North Carolina. Yeah, what? She fucking snapped.
Left the kids in the car. Fucking backed the car into a lake
like,
and just
like
fucking
a 4 and 5 year old kid. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, like 5, 6, somewhere in there. Like
that's terrible.
Well, the thing about it is, there's a line, and as a parent, like, you know, I'm a good man, but I do my best. But
You see
that line. You see it when you get you're so tired, and you know, between work and stress and home and mortgages, and this kid, and then you know, a couple kids, and then you're just fucking, you know, you only can take so much.
All right, Clayton. But
it's
let
like
me...
that dimmer switch. It's that dimmer switch. You have the ability to tone it. You don't get those ranges as a babysitter. You just don't.
No, all right, Clayton. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you one question. Now, you have what, 3 kids, right?
Yes, sir.
And you understand that you've had 3 kids. you have devoted a part of your life to three different personalities, three different individuals that are growing up, three different lives that you need to keep going, right?
Right.
Now, you don't think I can sympathize with that, even though I don't have kids? Even you don't think I can say that I recognize that these young children need to grow up. They need to learn as they grow up, and someone, even though if you don't agree with the person that has birthed those kids, they should grow up and have a good life.
I don't, Steve. I think you can recognize, just like I can recognize my dad's father's contribution in World War II. But I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I can relate to it. I can watch movies. I can play games. I can do everything I can. But I wasn't there dodging bullets. You know, I wasn't there. And I could still sympathize with him. I gave him a hug. I told him I loved him. And you know, those kind of things. And he would tell stories. And you just imagine, like, holy shit, that's amazing. You know, like, I can't even imagine. You know, I can't even say shock. I can't even imagine what that's like. Because you can't. You're not prepared for it. The day my son came into the world, I was like, holy shit. Like, when your wife was pregnant for the first time, you walk out, okay, she's pregnant. She's just getting this belly. So maybe, and then you go to the hospital, and that kid comes out, you're, oh, shit, what do you do now? Now you take something home from the hospital, and you can't just hear somebody else take it. I don't know what to do.
That's what I just said.
And I know. You can empathize. You can empathize with it, and you can understand it in some form or fashion. But you don't really understand it. You can't, because it's like being battle tested. You can, Steve. You can tell me all the time in the world how to grow an herb garden. Hey, notice I threw that in there.
Until I do it,
I don't know a goddamn thing about an herb garden. Until I actually fucking do it,
yeah.
I can know everything in the world and read it. Until I actually do it, I don't really know it.
Let me just say, I wish more people paid more attention to their kids than their herbs garden, if they have an herb garden.
I agree. No. I think that definitely taking care of your kid is better than taking care of your herb garden.
No, I think we're all on the same page, though. I think we all want kids to be better in the world.
Well, I think that goes without saying. The thing that everybody, that at least in this conversation, is taking exception with is that what Clayton had said, like that snapshot moment where he's at his worst, and we're saying, God, this guy can't fucking possibly raise a kid. Man, give me 5 minutes with those kids and they'll fucking be, you know what I mean? That type of thing.
No, but all right. Number one, I think people will see that as arrogant. People who have kids will see that as arrogant, and the people that do see that are the people that I have no problem with. I think the people that raise kids and do a horrible job of it, and it has happened many fucking times.
And that goes without saying. There are terrible parents that need to be better.
There are terrible parents, and I'm just saying that I think those terrible parents should listen to people, and even if they don't have kids, it doesn't mean that if someone doesn't have kids, doesn't mean they don't know how to raise them.
A lot of people watch the Giants play the Bills in the Super Bowl. A lot of people watch the Giants play the Bills in the Super Bowl in 1991, and everybody who watched that game saw a huge game-winning kick missed. They missed Buffalo. Scott Norwood missed that kick. Everybody was saying, "Oh man, he fucking blew that." And a lot of people probably said, "If he just fucking, you know, one more step to the right, you know, I would have fucking, he would have parted the fucking uprights." But they weren't in his shoes. They weren't given that snap. They didn't have that crowd around them.
You know what? I'm not Scott Norwood. I'm not saying I could fucking punt a fucking ball in the NFL. Or whatever, kick a field goal in the NFL. I'm saying I think there are bad parents out there, and I think bad parents don't even, you know what, number one, they don't even listen to somebody that thinks they could parent better than them if they don't have kids. And I'm just saying, if you don't have kids, it doesn't make you someone that has no idea of how to raise a child.
You know, I am officially saying it does.
Really? I'll take it a step further. I don't think no one knows how to raise a kid, dude. Like, nobody knows. you learn it as you go. That's like when I podcast with my dad. He said sometimes you've got to learn to forgive yourself, because my dad, you know, he's 63 years old or whatever, and you realize you fuck up a bunch of times through the course of raising them. Hope to God that they learn from your mistakes, you know, Mark.
Clayton, I think your dad does know how to raise a kid, because he raised you, and I agree with
him. Isn't that just...
No, I'm just saying, people know how to raise a kid, even if you have a kid or not. What's going to change?
So, Steve, right. Our message here is that we want kids to succeed, right? We want kids to have a good life.
No, I got a question.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, this is for both Ken, the person with no kids, and Clayton, the guy with kids. Do you think a person knows how to raise a kid any differently before or after they have a kid?
Definitely, they have a better idea after they have a kid.
Immediately, within the moment they're born, you think it changes?
No.
Have they inherited a skill set in raising children the moment that kid is born?
No, but it builds with experience, of which someone who does not have a kid gets none. Regardless of how many babysitting jobs they have, how many times they clean the fucking ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, you get no experience in parenting until you have a fucking kid. That's all I'm saying.
So the moment it hits 24/7, something changes, you're saying.
I don't know where we are, Steve, it's like
a guy who goes into the military and he starts off a training camp. Day one, he's not a better soldier than he was before. He goes through his training and eventually he becomes a soldier. He becomes a good soldier.
But the guy who's still waiting to go to basic training has not had the opportunity yet. That's all I'm saying. Guy on day two of basic training is more qualified than a guy who's never been there. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but nothing changed the day he said, all right, I'm in BT.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Let's just, Clayton, just give us a few wise words and tell us to shut the fuck up, please. Thank you.
10-4. Oh, gentlemen, I'll leave you to your show.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Bug Zapper Radio. You know what? Clayton is an amazing man. Clayton, you are an amazing man. You didn't hang up yet. I don't have to talk about you in the fucking like you
called in.
There you go.
Yeah, he's an amazing man. 10:30 East Coast time. Bug Zapper Radio.
I respect Clayton as a father. And so let me just say that. I did say that before.
You opened at that.
I did.
I did. You buttered him up nice.
No. I'm just saying And you know what? Clayton has three kids. And I know people that have one kid that shouldn't be a parent sooner than Clayton having three kids. Because I think if someone is a good parent and has a good wife or a good husband, they should be able to bring, right now, we're in
the Silence of the Lambs pit right now. You realize that? We have dug ourselves into an inescapable pit where other podcast fingernails are on the fucking side and people are just throwing buckets of lotion at us.
Yeah,
we can't get out until we're rescued.
There's no goofy bone in here, so I think we're doing...
Someone needs to rescue us, and I hope it's a German band by the name of Rammstein. I hope... Oh, there it is. Look, it's episode 365 of the DJ New Style Show. That's 365, djnewstyleshow.com. Please subscribe. Download everything we've ever done. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it. I want to say thank you to Clayton for calling in. Goatweed. And Sandwich Humor Jeff. By the way, Sandwich Humor Jeff. I almost said fucking Sandwich Humor. Holy fuck, I deserve to be speared. They did a great tribute for Germ Freak. And they played a couple of clips from some of their favorite Frank moments on their show for the 30th episode. Be sure to check out Truth Time Theater. Go to sandwichhumor.com. Download their awesome podcast. Those people have made leaps and fucking bounds since I first listened to them. They're an incredible show. and they're awesome. Steve, is there anything you'd like to say?
Woo!
Oh, you son of a bitch. To be the man! Ha! You gotta be the man! Woo! Oh, kill us, please. Did you turn off your big TV yet?
No, it's still on.
Nice.
I'm gonna maximize it right now.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.